This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
As the state budget process progresses, the Commonwealth faces a structural budget deficit. Yet Governor Josh Shapiro is pushing for a massive spending increase. This while tax policies put Pennsylvania at a competitive disadvantage relative to other states when it comes to economic development. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation, and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association have a roundtable discussion. David?
As ever, we're going to kick it around. And, here we are, and we're past the holidays, but that also means that we all survived tax day. So probably worth a little bit of reflection and looking back and talking about the tax burden in Pennsylvania and its effect on our overall competitiveness. Steve, you had some words about this recently.
Yeah, you think about, of course, as you mentioned, everyone is just who's had to file taxes has just done so in the last couple of weeks for the most part. And the IRS or the Department of Revenue, depending if you're talking state or local taxes, someone's counting that money, putting it in the bank, doing what they do with it to follow through with funding the government's operations, which is what that tax money is ultimately for. And we think tax day, and we think we've moved on from that. But really, there's another date looming in the on the calendar here in Pennsylvania, June 30th, which is budget day.
Yes, the end of the fiscal year and the constitutional deadline for enacting a new budget.
And so those two things are very much intertwined. The amount that folks are asked to pay in taxes has a direct impact on the budget. And the budget, the spending level, determines how much the government is pressured to ask its citizenry to make up by paying taxes to fill the hole. And that's the situation we're in here. You know, we talk about Capital Watch and we have that word watch in our name, and I was thinking about a watchdog.
Yeah, vigilance, yes.
Vigilance. And one of our jobs, I think certainly one of the things we do at the Commonwealth Foundation is try to be a good watchdog for taxpayers so that they know when something's up, when there's things about in the Capitol that are potentially going to impact the amount of taxes they have to pay. And what I thought of is you know, what does watchdog do when they see trouble? They bark, right?
Mm-hmm.
They alert you. Well, the dogs are barking. The dogs are barking in Harrisburg. The dogs are barking at the Capitol steps because something's up. And the problem is the path we're on is running into what's called deficit spending. If nothing is done, if we stay on the same path and continue to spend what the governor is asking for in his budget proposal, we're going to be looking at a forced new tax on consumers somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000 per family of four.
When rates are too high, collections are too low. Like having the high rate doesn't bring in the dollars that you need, and that it really that the goal should be to optimize both the tax rate to maximize growth, but also to restrain spending so that the government doesn't spend money faster than people can earn it, and which always suffocates growth. Again, we're talking about competitiveness, talking about how well our economy performs. And I guess I've been at this for longer than I'd care to admit because it really reminds me very much of the situation in 1990 and 1991 that then Governor Bob Casey Sr. Was running for re-election and running on a campaign of everything's great, and that as soon as the election was over in December of 1990, whoops, we have a $1 billion shortfall. What happened then, the drama that played out, is one of the most disgraceful chapters in Pennsylvania history, that it took $2 billion worth of pork projects to get the votes to pass the increase, the tax increase, to close the $1 billion budget shortfall. So you had a $3 billion tax increase on Pennsylvania's economy A large amount of that fell on the business community, and it condemned Pennsylvania to two generations of economic underperformance. It took the whole Ridge administration and many years since to climb out of that. And we're still, our relative competitive position is still not great. And so this is what it's warning us about, that we could be facing another crisis of this kind, which could have devastating consequences for Pennsylvania's future.
And as you said, in some ways that crisis has never ended. It's been dicey.
Yes.
It's been up and down.
Yes.
But in the last several years, there has been some sanity brought around the budget, and there has the rainy day fund has been refilled to some degree, and mm-hmm. the budget reserves exist rather than budget deficits existed over these last several years. But now, with under Governor Shapiro's leadership, we're seeing a return to that past. Mm-hmm. And if you look just like at the out-migration numbers, like even today, 14 out of the past 15 years – we've had an out-migration of citizens from our Commonwealth, moving on to other states. And it's documented that in many cases, they're leaving for states with a better tax environment, a less onerous tax environment. That's one of the key causes of why people continue to leave Pennsylvania, just like they did back in the 90s when you were talking about Governor Casey's tax hike or spending hike.
Yeah. Well, and it was both. It was, you know, Governor Thornburg left the Commonwealth in a net surplus position. And because the Casey administration didn't hold the line on spending and, in fact, increased spending, it put us – it started that dynamic that wound up in deficit, the very thing that we're looking at right now. And it was the House Republican leader, Jesse Topper of Bedford County, spoke to a business meeting that PMA co-hosted with the PA Chamber, and that leader Topper pointed out that even if – the General Assembly flat funded the state budget this year from last year, even that level is unsustainable. So that's the trajectory of the problem that we're facing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what Steve started out with by talking about the structural deficit that we're facing. And that is essentially that spending is increasing faster than revenues. And it's so frustrating because it really is just you get caught in this sort of snowball effect, because what that leads to is a never-ending debate over what more can we tax? What else can we grab to tax? Because you can never fulfill, it just keeps growing and growing. So you're always looking for that additional thing to tax. So in this year's budget, they're talking about taxing, legalizing recreational marijuana, taxing skill games. So every year we seem to bring up, like, what are the new things, the new shiny things that we can tax? So we're caught in this sort of snowballing of structural deficit where we're always having to defend, you know, against new and new taxes.
Yes. And if I could give you, Rebecca, an example from the 1991 tax increase, and I am not making this up, that, you know, because government greed is insatiable, they're always looking for new things to tax. And at that point in time, that the forces that the powers that be in Harrisburg said, hey, there's this new thing, computers, let's tax it. And that Pennsylvania instituted a unique computer services tax on that business in Pennsylvania. And it was one of the first things that Governor Ridge tackled to get rid of, because it was egregious. It's like, wait a minute, this is one of the new industries that is emerging. Why would we want to set ourselves out as the place where this ought not to happen?
And that's one of the basic tenets you learn in an economics 101 class, is if you want less of something, tax it. So if you want less of economic growth that comes from new industries, then levy a tax on it. And that's where we are. And that's where we keep coming back to because of this structural deficit that we're caught in. So something needs to change drastically in order for us to reset. And, you know, we're seeing a reset in Washington, D.C. right now. We're talking about how we think about things differently in Washington. Maybe we can see some of that come to Harrisburg.
So, Rebecca, you know, again, focusing on competitiveness. You know, the world is not standing still. Private sector investment decisions are voluntary. And so this is why you know, in my opinion, that our lawmakers and decision makers should be focused on nurturing a pro-growth business environment where we can earn that private sector investment so that we have more dynamism, more jobs, more wealth creation, all that stuff. And so our leaders need to be looking at our competitor states and not just our neighbor states. I mean, if we want to feel good about ourselves, yes, look at New York and New Jersey, and we are, in fact, slightly less bad. But when you look at the high-performing states, which are not that far away, I mean, you look at states like Virginia, Indiana, North Carolina, there's been dramatic improvement in Ohio. And, you know, I know that Governor Shapiro, you know, likes to, you know, complain about, you know, he's tired of losing to Ohio. Well, you know, there are some smart things that are being done in Columbus. Let's take a look at that. Maybe those are things that we should emulate.
Sure. I think Florida is a great state to look at because it's very similar to Pennsylvania in a lot of ways. We have a lot of the same sort of population. We both tend toward an older population. Our population is similar in size, but Florida is ranked 4th nationally in tax competitiveness. And looking at Florida, there's a great report that comes out every year called Rich States, Poor States, which really looks at a lot of the economic indicators for all the states and compares them and compares how they're doing from an economic competitiveness perspective. So I looked at Florida and I compared it to Pennsylvania because we know if Florida's ranked 4th, it's doing pretty well from an economic tax competitiveness standpoint. So what are they doing differently and why are they so successful? Well, first of all, they don't have a personal income tax in Florida.
Wow. Okay.
At all. So that makes a big difference. Their corporate net income tax is 5.5%. And ours is, it's now 8.99%, I believe, if I remember correctly. It's on its way down right now, but it's still very high. I think it's still number 2 in the nation,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
It's among the high. We're starting to roll the boulder, but the rate reduction is only going to be 0.5% a year. So it's going to take us
a
number of years to get us to the point where many of our competitors already are.
They have no inheritance tax in Florida, whereas in Pennsylvania, a lot of our small businesses are forced to pay an inheritance tax on businesses that are passed down through the families, which is unfortunate. They have a tax expenditure limit in their budget, which we do not.
So Tallahassee can only spend so much and then they got to stop?
Yes, apparently.
Wow.
The combination of a lot of these things together gives Florida, according to this rank, the overall performance rank of number 1, whereas Pennsylvania is number 44.
Wow.
So this is a policy prescription for us. And I will add, too, that their absolute domestic migration is over 1.9 million people, whereas compared to Pennsylvania, almost 259,000 people that we lost.
So they had almost 2 million people move in, and we had more than 250,000 Americans move out.
Yes.
We especially need to keep the younger people who are in their working lives and paying taxes to shoulder the burden that we have because of our large, you know, senior population and the services that they need. And, of course, the fact that they're beyond their working years and no longer paying income taxes. How well does the governor's budget proposal match up with that vision?
It simply doesn't match. And, you know, the numbers that we're using are from the Independent Fiscal Office, a nonpartisan state agency that calls the balls and strikes
right
on the budget. So this is not some fanciful thing that we've been making up a crisis that isn't really there. It's documented. But you're looking at the governor now asking for $51.5 billion in spending for the next fiscal year. That's a 9% increase in spending at a time like this. And he's, as was noted a little bit earlier, he wants to fund a lot of this expansion of spending with money from things like the legalized cannabis initiative and a tax on those skill games, which those mechanisms don't exist. The legalized marijuana doesn't exist in Pennsylvania yet, other than for medical purposes.
Yes,
so
those income sources are imaginary.
They're if in fact these things were somehow up and running and taxed, here's how much we think we could get.
But it almost makes you think that we're actually considering these policy initiatives just to make money off of them, right? Which,
in other words, let them exist only so we can tax them to death. Yes, it could be. But we also have done a terrible job, as mentioned, the CNIT corporate net income tax is still at a very high level relative to most other states. That's been slowly ratcheted down, but it's got to move more quickly. The governor, through pushing REGI, the original greenhouse gas initiative, and his own similar program at the state level, has driven a 30% spike in electricity costs mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania, which is another tax. It's a tax
Correct.
On an industry that was singled out, a perfectly legitimate industry.
And legal a native industry, and it goes back to the computer tax. The attitude
exactly.
in Harrisburg is if there's a new industry, bleed it, which is not the way to encourage growth. And you raise an excellent metaphor there about the economy being the business sector, the productive sector being a beast of burden to be whipped, that the correct view is that it is a garden to be tended. And this is why you want to create the environment where businesses can flourish and create jobs and pay wages and benefits and retirement money and all the things that happen when you are satisfying customers by providing goods and services for which they then voluntarily hand over money. Like that's how the economy is supposed to work. That's how we're supposed to get growth. But when we treat the productive sector like a whipping boy and we put burden upon burden upon burden, regardless, without any eye to how the economy will react, then that's how we get into this very negative dynamic of underperforming with growth, having more of our people leave, and intensifying the structural deficit that we have where mandatory spending is increasing faster than the growth of the economy. So yeah, these are all things that have to get settled by June 30. So good luck with that.
And it's going to take not just the work that we do, but it's going to take the citizens letting their voice be heard. And so one of the reasons, again, why does the watchdog bark?
Yes.
To alert the people who are in danger that they've got to do something.
Yes.
There's a problem.
Yes.
And we're here again today barking. And if listeners can magnify this by barking to their state representatives,
yes.
their state senators, their federal representation, this is a good time to do so.
And as you know, as the listeners of the show have heard me say many, many, many times over the years, that representative self-government is not a spectator sport, that it's up to each one of us to choose to be informed, to live life with our brains turned on, to be informed citizens and to exercise that citizenship, not just by voting, although you should do that, but also by interacting with your lawmakers and the other decision makers so that they know somebody is watching. Because I think a lot of this bad behavior happens when they think that they can do a bunch of stuff and then get away with it.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.